This is Daf Yud Beis. So we got to the very top line. The Gemara in yesterday's Daf was talking about whether or not the Beis Knesset requires a mezuzah, does not require a mezuzah. The Gemara gave a series of answers, and the last answer, which in the end I'll just tell you we're going to reject on the bottom, but the last answer was that the Beis Knesset of the Krachim, which was a more public use, is not considered owned by anyone in particular, and therefore not chayv and mezuzah, as opposed to those found in the kfarim. Everyone knew it was a very small community. Everyone knew each other. Everyone had a certain chaylik and paying membership and the maintenance for the basic knesses that was considered owned and would be chayv in a mezuzah. So the Gemara says, "Ud the krachim ein metame b'negayim." And now we transition to the discussion of tumas negayim. So then, is it true that a basic knesses of a krachim of the larger cities, ein metamim bin negayim, because nobody owns it? Is that really true? V'atanya, doesn't the Braisa teach us, achuz aschem, metamim bin negayim, v'ein Yushalayim metamim bin negayim? The different areas, different cities are required, are subject to the halachas of tumas negayim, but Yushalayim is not subject to tumas negayim. Why is that? Rashi says three lines down, v'ein Yushalayim metamim bin negayim, she'ein achuz alahem. No one owns it. It's not part of the Yerusha. Kesavar lo nech nisachalka l'shevet Yehuda u'bin yamin ela kol ha'shvatim shavin ba. That it was not divided to Shevet Yehuda and Shevet Binyamin. Rather, it was given equally to all the 12 Shvatim. So nobody owns it. It's not called an Achuza and not subject to Metamet Bin Negayim. Comes along the Braisa to quote Amar Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda, Ani lo shemati el makom mikdash bavad. I only heard that the Beis HaMikdash itself is not subject to Tumas Negayim, but the rest of Yushalayim is subject to Yushalayim. So it says Rashi here, el makom mikdash bavad, three narrow lines down, she Kishakana David as Goran Marona, when he bought Yavusi from, he bought the property of the Harbias and the Beis HaMikdash, Gava HaKesef Mikol Shevet V'Shevet. He collected money, he collected funds from every single Shevet, so they all had a chelek in the Beis HaMikdash proper, but the rest of Yushalayim was divided to Shevet Yehuda. He was the owner. It was considered Achuza. So the implication from this, the Gemara says, is Ha Bati Knasios, Bati Majashos of Yushalayim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is metame bin negayim, is subject to tumas negayim, v'afa gav de krachim ninhu. Even though Yushalayim is considered a krach, it's considered a big city, it is subject to tumas negayim. So Gemara says, no, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't say makom mikdash bavad, only the base of mikdash is exempt from tumas negayim. Ema amar Rabbi Yehuda, ani lo shemati ela makom mikudash bilvad. All the places that are sanctified, whether it's the Beis HaMikdash or whether it's the Beis Knesset or the Beis Medrash throughout Yerushalayim, all of them are exempt from the Tumas Negayim because the cities, shuls and cities, Batei Midrashos, are not considered owned by anyone. It's public property and therefore exempt. The Gemara wants to know now, B'mai Kemithli, what is the Machlokas, whether or not Tanakama Savar Yerushalayim Lo Nischalku L'Shvatim and Rabbi Yehuda Savar Yerushalayim Nischalku L'Shvatim? There's this big Machlokas. Was it owned by one of the Shvatim, Shevet Yehuda, Shevet Binyamin, or was it unowned? It was for all them to use equally. So what is this Machlokas? So Gemara says, they're arguing, sorry, what is Machlokas? Machlokas is that very piece where I just said. That's what they're arguing about, whether Lo Nischalku or whether Nischalku L'Shvatim. And the Gemara says, that Machlokas here, whether or not it's subject, Yushalayim, subject to Tumas Negayim or not, is also Machlokas, a Pluksa, the Hani Tanai, of the following Braisa as well. The Tani, the Braisa says, this appears a couple places in Megillah and Maseches Zvachim as well. Ma'aya b'chelkel shel Yehuda. What was in the air of Yehuda? Harbayis, halishchos, v'azaros. U'ma'aya b'chelkel shel Binyamin. Ulam v'heichal u'beit katshe kadashim. So the different parts of the Beis HaMikdash, part were given to Yehuda, part were given to Binyamin. U'ritzua ha'isa yotza m'chelkel shel Yehuda. There was a little strip that was came out of Yehuda, uvnichneses lechelkos of Binyamin, and kind of encroached on the property of Binyamin, ubahaya mizbeach banoi, and that area, even though it should have been Binyamin's, Yehuda kind of stole it from him, and the mizbeach was in the part of Yehuda. Ubinyamin hatzadik hayamitzar ale levala b'chol yom. Binyamin somehow figuratively wanted to swallow up. He was so bothered by this, he wanted to swallow up, absorb the mizbeach, absorb Yehuda's chelik that he was taking from him. Shenamar chofef alav kol yom. He was hovering over chelik of the mizbeach that he wanted, and the fikach therefore zocha binyamin hatzadik v'nasa ushbizchin legvura. It turned out binyamin was zocha to be the host of the gvura. What does that mean? Shenamar ben kseif av shachin. The pasuk says that the Aron, the Kodesh Kodashim, was in the Chelek of Binyamin. So the truth is, the Gemara tells us in Tzvachim that though the Mizbeach was mostly in Yehuda's property, the Binyamin was able to take a little bit of it. You know, there's a little Yesod we discussed, a little platform at the bottom of the Mizbeach that doesn't go around the whole Mizbeach, but it goes around the area of the south, west, and goes to the northwest and to the northeast, it takes off those corners. But the other corner, the southeast corner, doesn't have the Yesod, but the other corners do have a Yesod. That's Binyamin. Binyamin somehow is part of the Yesod of the Mizbech, but the most part of the main part of the Mizbech was owned by Yehuda. Those who learn the Svarim, the Yesod connects to Binyamin, connects to Yosef Tzadik, that's the Midah of Yesod, but somehow there is this like a tension between Yehuda and Binyamin in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says further now, the High Tana, so that Brisa clearly holds that the Beis HaMikdash was split between Yehuda and Binyamin. It wasn't Nischalk L'Shvatim. It was owned by a particular one Shevet. This half was Yehuda's, and this half was Binyamin's. But there's another Brisa that says, V'hai Tanya, Savar, Yushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim, that Yushalayim was not divided amongst the Shvatim. Which Brisa, which Tanya is that? The Sanya, Ein maskirin batim b'Yushalayim lefi she'eino shelahen. You're not allowed to rent out, you can't lease out apartments in Yushalayim because it's not theirs. It's not theirs, you can't do this. It's similar to a Mishnah in Maseches Makos. The Mishnah Maseches Makos says, in the Ari Miklav, there's a machlokas, are you allowed to lease out your apartment and collect rent in the Ari Miklav? So there's 2 days in the Mishnah. So it depends, do the Levim who live in Ari Miklat, do they own the Ari Miklat, and therefore they have the right to lease it out, or they don't own it, they're just living there because that's where Kadosh Baruch Hu is at to live, but they don't actually own it. So too we have by Yerushalayim, are the people living there allowed to rent out their apartment, or no? The Baruch says they're not allowed to because they don't own it, it's not theirs, it was Nischalkul the Shvatim. All the Shvatim have ownership, we're given the permission to live here, but no one actually owns it. So Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok Omer, Aflo mitos, even the beds they don't own, they can't lease out beds for people to sleep on. The fikach, therefore, since they're not allowed to collect rent, you're allowed to freely stay in their apartments, however that works. Oros lefikach, oros kachim, bali ushbizchen, no linosom bizarra. Since you can't really pay, they can't collect rent from you, you do owe them something, you have some akar satov. So all the hide from the kachim, because who would come to Yerushalayim? People bring karbanos. So when they take back to their apartments, they take back all the skin, the leather, from the karbanos. So says the Gemara, the host, the balabas, the landlord, if you will, since he can't collect rent, he is allowed to in turn take the skin, the hide, away from their guests. That's their form of payment, because that's the proper akar satov. It's derech eretz, and even though it's derech eretz, they said you're allowed to enforce this derech eretz. So Amar Abai says, Shema Amina, we learn from here that Orach Ara, it's the way of the land. Another way of saying it's Derech Eretz, Lemishbak Inish Gufa, Umashka Lushbiz. It's proper for guests to leave something behind for the host to keep, some form of payment. Even though you're staying as a guest for Shabbos, you should bring something, a bottle of wine, some candy, flour, whatever you think is appropriate, you should leave something. So he says you should leave over Gulfa, says Rashi, Kan Shacharis, some type of a pottery bottle, Umashka, or Behema, Shushochet V'Ocha V'Bais, V'Bais, Bahabais. You should leave the skin over, leave something, a little gift, a little present, based on this Indian. So again, it does seem like a bit of a stira to be forced to leave a gift, but in the end of the day, that is the proper Derech Eretz. What comes out from all this, however, is that there clearly is a machlokes whether or not Nischalka L'Shvatim or lo Nischalka L'Shvatim. Again, the first opinion said that Shevet Binyamin has chelek, Shevet Yehuda has another chelek, that is considered Nischalka L'Shvatim. But this last price that says you can't charge rent because you don't own it, it was Nischalka L'Shvatim, everyone split it amongst each other, therefore there is no one singular owner. So Gemara now says around half, or more than halfway down the Amud here, Ud Kfarim Mimetame Binagarm. So our assumption before this was that the shuls that existed in the villages, since it was a small, tight-knit community, everybody knew each other, that is considered owned and subject to Tumas Negoim. So Gemara challenges this and says, V'hatani, doesn't the Braisa teach us? Lachuza, says in the Pasuk by Tumas Negoim, has to be Lachuza, Ad Yichbashu Oso, until you've conquered the land when Yeshua came into Eretz Yisrael. So the dinim of Tumas Negoim did not take effect until they conquered the land. So one might have thought, Kivshu Osa V'lo Chelku L'Shvatim. Let's say they conquered the land, but they didn't yet divide the land. Or let's say Chalku L'Shvatim, they divided who is in which area, which territory goes to which particular Shvatim. However, Lo Chelku L'Beis Avos, but they didn't divide amongst the families yet. And let's say Chelku L'Beis Avos, let's say they separated the different neighborhoods for the different families, V'ein Kalechad Makia Shilo, but they didn't say whose particular property is going to live in which property. So then it says, Minayin, how do you know that the dinim of Tumas Negoim don't yet take effect until everything is complete, until they've conquered, divided by the families and by the individuals? Tamalomer Uva Asher lo habayis. It has to be his in the singular. Misha miuchad lo yatsa elu shein miuchadim lo. It has to be where the owner is clear. It's clear who the owner is. And therefore, what comes out, the shuls of the kfarim is not considered miuchad lo. It's considered miuchad l'rabim. It wasn't divided amongst anyone. And therefore, it's not subject. The shul of the kfarim are not subject to tumas negarim. Rashi says, you're right. There is no tumas negarim by shul. Bein mekrachim bein kfarim. It was much clearer, the original answer that we had given about the base dira versus not a base dira. One with had a shul, and we had the discussion of chazan who lives in the shul versus a chazan who doesn't live in the shul. But this last answer of the chilik between krachim and kfarim is no longer a valid answer. Gemara now says we're going back to the very first mission of the Masechta Daf Beis, where it said we have a backup Kohen Gadol for the original Kohen Gadol. In case the Kohen Gadol gets a psul of some sort, he becomes tameh, he becomes, something happens to him, we have to appoint a backup Kohen Gadol. So now, big question is, to become a Kohen Gadol, we discussed already, you have to be appointed to become a Kohen Gadol. There has to be a process, not simply appointed, but you have to somehow do an avoda. So you have to wear, we said, eight begadim is one way to express your Kohen Gadol. We discussed putting Shemna Mishka, the oil, on the Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara is not going to entertain. The Gemara wants to know, how does a Kohen Gadol become a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur? Right, Kohen Gadol A becomes Pasul. So what avoda will make the Kohen Gadol a new Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur? So before getting to that, the Gemara is not going to say, take some Shemen Mishcha and put it on his head, this way he'll become Kohen Gadol. The Gemara does not suggest that. Why not? So some Rishon hold, Tosfos Rishon on the side of the page here, he says because this is all Bayis Sheni. In Bayis Rishon, Eina Chanami, they would have taken Shemen Mishcha and that would have made him Kohen Gadol, would have been very, very simple. The Ramban says, no, even Shemen HaMishcha would not have been effective in the times of Bayis Rishon, because Shemen HaMishcha is only used when you're pointing and inaugurating a Kohen Gadol to be forever, as long as he lives. But this backup Kohen Gadol is only there for the day, because by the time this Kohen Gadol becomes, Tahor, the Kohen Gadol B is out of the picture. So you can't anoint a temporary Kohen Gadol with Shemen HaMishcha. So even in Bayis Rishon, says the Ramban, the Shemen HaMishcha would not have been effective. Fine. So the Gemara then says, how exactly do you appoint to initiate a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur? So Gemara says, Pshita, it all makes sense. Irabo psul kodem tamid shel shachar, mechan chenoso betamid shel shachar. If the Kohen Gadol, now I'll tell you part of the problem is that the most of the avodah done in Yom Kippur is wearing the four begadim, the four white begadim. Any avodah related to Yom Kippur, he wears four white begadim. We need to find an avodah that the Kohen Gadol wears the eight begadim, the big days of. Now, we didn't discuss this yet, but anything that's unique to Yom Kippur, there's four begadim. Anything unique to, anything that's not unique, anything that's a regular avodah, like the Tamid Shel Shachar, that he wears eight begadim. So we need to find something that he's wearing eight begadim to establish that he is, in fact, the Kohen Gadol, at least for today. So if the psul of Kohen Gadol A happened before the Tamid Shel Shachar, so then, very simple, the new Kohen Gadol wears eight begadim, and he goes ahead and does the Tamid Shel Shachar, and with that, he's Mechan Chenoso. Ela irabo psul achar Tamid Shel Shachar, but if he became pasul after the Tamid Shel Shachar took place. And now what's left is mostly the avodas of Yom Kippur, b'ma mechan chenoso. If he wears four begadim for the big day kuna of Yom Kippur, that's not going to establish that he is a Kohen Gadol. He needs to wear the eight begadim. So just look at Rashi a little bit just to make this clear. Rashi writes pshita around halfway down the Rashi's, pshita ira b'kohen gadol, pasul, b'yom ha-kippur m'kodem, tamid shel shachar, mechan chenoso lezeh, ha-meshamish, tacht up to the back of Kohen Gadol, we make him wear eight begadim, as he does the tamid shel shachar. He wears the eight articles of clothing. Right, so very simple. He becomes a Kohen Gadol with a Tamid Shel Shachar, and then the very next step, he removes the clothing, puts on the four big day kuna of the Yom Kippurim, and he can go ahead and do the avoda of Yom Kippurim. But again, if the Tamid Shel Shachar was already done, how does he become the Kohen Gadol? Where does he wear? When does he wear the eight begadim? So Gemara says very simply, Amr of Adar bar Ava, be'avnet, with his avnet, meaning you don't really have to wear eight begadim. You have to wear something that's unique to the Kohen Gadol. So, yes, normally a Kohen Hediot wears four begadim, and the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur wears four begadim, and everything seems to be identical except the avnet. There is an opinion, we're going to go through a machlokas, whether the avnet of the Kohen Hediot was the same exact avnet that the Kohen Gadol wore on Yom Kippur, or was it different? If we assume that the avnet of the Kohen Hediot is different than the avnet of the Kohen Gadol that he wears in Yom Kippur, then that would show he's a Kohen Gadol, because he puts on a different belt now. So that's what the Gemara says. Gemara says, Amr of Adar bar Ava, be'avnet, the different avnet. So Gemara says now, it's a little confusing how the Gemara says this. I always get very confused when I see this, and it comes up a few times. We saw this already earlier, actually, in the Perek. Hanichel man, this makes sense. the Avnetel Shel Kohen Gadol, Zehu Avnetel Shel Kohen Hedyo. If you assume that the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol that he wears all year round is like the Avnet that the Kohen Hedyo wears all year round, then this makes sense, because the implication of this is that the Avnet the Kohen Gadol wears Yom Kippur is different. So let me again take a step back. The Kohen Gadol had two Avnetim. He had two belts. One he wore on Yom Kippur, one that he wore on the rest of the year. So they were definitely different, though. So if the Avnet that the Kohen Gadol wore the rest of the year is just like the Avnet that the Hedyot wears the rest of the year, that means the Avnet that the Kohen Gadol wore on Yom Kippur is different. So then this would all make sense that he's a special belt he puts on Yom Kippur. That all makes sense. Ella, Leman the Damer, the one who holds Avnet Shel Kohen Gadol all year round is different. Lo Zehu Avnet Shel Kohen Hedyot. It's not like the Kohen Hedyot. That means the Kohen Gadol's Avnet that he wears in Yom Kippur is the same exact as the Kohen Hedyot wears, and there's not going to be a discrepancy, Ma'ik L'Memer. So as you look at Rashi, Rashi plugs in some of the gaps that I tried filling in. Rashi writes, Ba'avneto, go up like 10 narrow lines in Rashi. Ba'avnet, ba'osan dal begadim, atzman, yeichek lakuna gadola. No, even the four articles of clothing that the Kohen Gadol wears in Yom Kippur, that also has a distinction. She'avneto shel Kohen Gadol ba'avodah shel Kippurim shel butsu, it's made of butz, the rest of the year, the Kohen Gadol wears the shatnez. And this Kohen, the new Kohen Gadol, all year round, Kohen Hedyot, he also wore klayim. They both were klayim. But now that he became the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, he has a different belt. That belt is made of boats, not boots. It's not a klayim. And therefore, that establishes that he's different. He's the Kohen Gadol. So Gemara says, Hanich l'man amr. This all makes sense that the belt changes for the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. If you assume this man amr, the Avnetel Shel Kohen Gadol Shel Kol Yimos HaShana, the Kohen Gadol's belt, the Avnet, all year round, Hayah Shel Klayim is also Shel Klayim as Shatnez, and that's the same exact Zeh Avnetel Shel Kohen Hedyot. The next Rashi, Shein Chilik Ba'Avnetem, the Avnetem, there's no difference. However, the Hekera is Ika Hekera B'Yom HaKippurim Ba'Avnet, the Fisha Avnetel Shel Kohen Gadol Mishtan B'Yom HaKippurim Liel Shel Butz. He wears a different belt on Yom Kippur, it's a butz one, so that's why he could transition from four begadim to four begadim on Yom Kippur, because the belt is changing. But El Laman Dama, the one who holds the Kaman of Neto Shel Kohen Gadol of B'chol HaShana, the rest of the year, Lo Zeh Shel Hedyot, it's not the same of a Kohen Hedyot's belt, Shel Hedyot Shel Butz, the Hedyot is a butz, and Nimsu Avnetayim Shel Sham B'Yom HaKippurim, which means that the rest of the year, so when the Kohen Gadol wears an Avnet of Butz on Yom Kippur, it's the same exact Avnet as the Kohen Hedyot. There is no distinction. What way will he show that he's the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur? Hopefully that was somewhat clear.
Always two options.
Exactly. The Gemara in Amar Bey is going to explain a little bit of machlokas about this, but yeah. So Gemara then says, how then does he establish that he's the Kohen Gadol? So Gemara says, Amar Bai, Bai says last few lines of the Amar here. Lovesh Shmoni, he should wear eight begadim, umahapech bitzinora. He should flip over some of the carbonates that are burning on the Mizbeach. He should use a tzinor as a fork, some type of pitchfork. He flips over the meat, and with that he establishes that he is a Kohen Gadol, and that is considered avoda. Uktav Huna, Damer of Huna, Zar Shehafach b'tzinora Chai Misa. If a Zar does this avoda, he's Chai Misa. He's only Chai Misa if it's an avoda. It must be that flipping the meat is considered an avoda. Just look at Rashi here. Rashi says the last... actually, we don't need the Rashi. Either way, this is clearly an avoda, and therefore, if a zar is chai misa, that means a Kohen Gadol can become a Kohen Gadol through doing this. Now, the interesting question that Tosos says in Menachos, he says, wait a second, doesn't a Kohen Gadol have to bring a minchas chavitim every single day? Every day is a minchas chavitim. So why doesn't the Kohen Gadol simply bring the minchas chavitim, and he can establish himself as the Kohen Gadol with the minchas chavitim? So says Tosos, we don't bring karbanos yechid, karban yachid on Yom Kippur. There's no minchas chavitim. So from this, Mishael Melech proves, he has a shayla, he's a suffix. Can a Kohen Gadol do an avoda without bringing the minchas chavitim ever in his life? And he proves from this Gemara he can, because this is the case where the Kohen Gadol cannot bring minchas chavitim, and yet he can still serve as a Kohen Gadol. Must be, says Mishael Melech, that minchas chavitim is not me'akev, the Kohen Gadol serving as the Kohen Gadol. Fine. Says the Gemara now further now. Rapapa Amar Rapapa gives another suggestion. How does the Kohen Gadol become a Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur? So he says the number bays now avodaso mechanchaso. The avoda itself, one bevas achas, when doing the avoda as the Kohen Gadol, he becomes a Kohen Gadol at that very same moment. Mi lo tanya, do we not have a similar model in the Braiso? Kol hakelim she'asa Moshe mishichasan mikad hashton. When Moshe Beinu had anointed all the different kelim, that infused it with Kedusha and made it right to work and to be used as Kli Sharis in the Mishkan. However, after the times of Moshe Benu, Mikan Ve'elach, from that point on, Avodasan Mechan Chasam, so the Avoda itself was Mechanich. So you took a brand new, I don't know, pan, and you used it for Avoda, even though beforehand it wasn't a Kli Sharis, that Avoda was a good Avoda while making, while being Mechanich the Kli at the same exact time, Hachanami Avodasan Mechan Chasam. By him doing the avoda with the four begadim, that was that which was reserved for the Kohen Gadol. Right? A regular Kohen can't do the shechita of the par, only Kohen Gadol, but he's not Kohen Gadol yet. But when he does that shechita, when he does the Kabbalah, when he does the halacha and so on, that makes him the Kohen Gadol at the same exact time. That's what Rashi says in the top line here. Says Rashi, avodasa mechanchaso, avodas yom akifurim atzma, she'ein ksheira elav a Kohen Gadol, it's only done by a Kohen Gadol, and by virtue of him doing it, that shows that he himself is the Kohen Gadol, v'zeh ovda mechanchaso lekuna gidol. Fine. Gemara now says four lines down on a base. Kiyasa Rav Dimi, Rav Dimi came back from Babel, rather from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he reported, Amar, Avneto Shekoin Hedu, the Avneto Shekoin Hedu, and he had Machlokes, that Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, Chad Amar Shel Kalayim, the belt that was worn by the Kohen Hedu, some hold it was Shatnez, the Chad Amar, others say it was Shel Butz. So at this time, let's conclude, the Rebbe who Damar Shel Kalayim, it must be Rebbe, who's the opinion who holds it was Shatnez, the belt of the Kohen Hedu was Shatnez. The Tanya, the Brisa says, Ein Min Kohen Gadol LeKohen Hedu, Ela Avnet Shedivrei Rebbe. The only difference is between the Kohen Gadol, who works in the base of Migdash for the four begadim Yom Kippur, and the Kohen Hedor is the Avnet. So since the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol was certainly Butz on Yom Kippur, so it must be the Kohen Hedor's belt was a climb. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon Omer, Af Lo Avnet. Even the Avnet wasn't different. So when it says there's a difference, or Machlok is here in the Brisa, whether there's a difference between the Avnet and Kohen Hedor or not, we don't know what times they're referring to. Amos, when is this machlokis? Which belt are we referring to? Inei b'shai mosa shana. If you're telling me that the only difference between the Kohen Hedyot and the Kohen Gadol is the Avnet, if it's talking about the rest of the year, tuva ika Kohen ika. There's many differences because the Kohen Gadol is mishamish b'shmona Hedyot ba'arba. It's not just the belt; it's the meal and everything else, the ephod. So there are many differences. Ella must be that this price is referring to dafka el labi yom kippurim army. And therefore we see on Yom Kippur, there's a machlokas whether or not the Kohen Hedyot's belt was a climb or not a climb, but the Kohen Gadol's was certainly a butz. So Gemara says, love, not true. Liolam b'shai mos hashana. Really, this price could be referring to the rest of the year, whether the belt was similar or not similar. Why didn't it mention the other things? B'hanach d'shavan, it was referring to that which they had in common. Meaning they both, they had pants, and they wore the shirt, and they wore the belt, they wore a hat. Of the four common begadim that they wore, the only difference is the avnet, one was shatnez, and one was butz. But the gabe, the meal, there are many other differences. The Bryce was focused on what they had that are the same, how there's a difference within those. Fine. So the Gemara then says further, Kiyosa Rabin, when Rabin came back from Babel, and he reported, Amr avnet al shakon gadol, b'yom ha-kipurim, divriya kol shabutz. Everybody agrees that the belt that the Kohen Gadol wore in Yom Kippur was certainly Shabbutz. B'shari Mos Hashanah, the rest of the year, Divriyat Kol Shaklaim, it was Shatnez the rest of the year. So what is Machlokas? So everybody agrees the Kohen Gadol had two belts. The Kohen Gadol's belt in Yom Kippur was Butz, and the Shari Mos Hashanah was Shatnez. The Machlokas really is, what was the belt of the Kohen Hedyot? Lo Nechlaku Ela Vavneta Shekohen Hedyot. Bein B'shari Mos Hashanah, Bein Yom Kippurim, Shirebi Omer Shaklaim, and Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon Omer Shabbut. So that's really the machlokas, what was the Kohen Hedyot, and whatever his was would dictate whether or not this would be considered a good way of being mechanich, the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. If it was the same as the Kohen Hedyot, it wouldn't work. If it was different than the Kohen Hedyot, it would work. So Gemara now says, after talking about the different types of begadim, the Gemara is now going to address something unique about the Trumas Hadeshen. But before doing so, there's actually an interesting question here. We discussed maybe in the beginning, did we discuss this, that when we said this din, that all the Avodah Zimah Kippurim is only done by the Kohen Gadol, we had a two-way machlokas, what that meant. On the Yom Kippur, does it mean the Kohen Gadol does every single Avodah? He does, certainly he does all those that are unique to Yom Kippur, but he also does the Avodahs that are not unique, even the Talmud Shashachar he does. Only the Kohen Gadol could do everything from A to Z. Or do we say that the Kohen Gadol only does that which is unique to the Yom Kippur, but the other types of avodas, which is more general, like Talmud Shachar, a Kohen Hedyot could do? That was a machlokas we had. So the Baal Mor is the opinion who holds that every single avoda from A to Z must be done by the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. Whether it's unique to Yom Kippur, whether it's not unique to Yom Kippur, he must do everything. So the Rashash has a very important point here. He says, no, this Gemara says that the Abnate of the... it says, the Kohen Hedi, we just read, the Abnate of Kohen Gadol, Bein Bishayim Osa Hashana, Bein Miyom HaKippurim, it's going to be Klaim. And the other opinion says it was Shabbat. What's the Kohen Hedi doing any avoda on Yom HaKippurim? What do you mean? The Kohen Hedid's belt, Bein Mishayim Osa Hashana, Bein Yom HaKippurim, the Baal Mor said the Kohen Hedid should not be working Yom Kippur. So why is the Braisa saying he does work in Yom Kippur? So that's the Kash the Rashash says. The Gvura Sari, the Shah Gazari says, no, the Kohen Hedid can't do any avoda that's being done on Yom Kippur. But let's say you have some fats and limbs that are burning from yesterday, from Erev Yom Kippur, that are still on the Mizbeach, that the Kohen Hedid is allowed to flip over and do that type of avoda, so in theory he can wear a belt for that. What the Baal Mor means he can't do is any avoda done on Yom Kippur, like the Tamid Shel Shacha, that he can do. But it was left over from yesterday, even though today's Yom Kippur, he would be able to do as the Kohen Hedid. So that's how the Gevurah Sari justifies this brisa for the Baal Mor.
Isn't that like physically impossible for one person to do all the avoda? Like you have to chef and then collect the dust.
Exactly. The Gemara is going to address this very question. Gemara says, after the Kohen Gadol shechs it, so then he has to catch the blood, which is almost impossible. So he shechs it, he hands over the knife somehow to another Kohen to finish it off, so he can then catch the blood. Gemara says, you can't have two people doing a shechita, that's possible. So Gemara is going to address this very question. So the Gemara then says, further halfway down the page here, Amr of Nachman bar Yitzchak, af ananami tanina, we also learn in the Mishnah, al Bisara, it says by the Shumas Hadeshim, that you have to wear, the Kohen has to wear the begadim directly on his basar, on the flesh. There can't be any chatzitza. So, ma'atam lomar yilbash. What does it say to wear? Of course, if it's al basaro, of course it means to yilbash. So, what's the extra word yilbash teaching us? L'havi mitznefes v'avnet l'aramas hadeshen divrei Rebbe Yehuda. That the Kohen has to wear all four begadim when he does the chumas hadeshen, when he takes out the trash, if you will. When he takes out the ashes, the chumas hadeshen is, every single morning, the first thing done, he would go at Kohen, they would do a, used to have a race, we'll see about the race in a few days from today. They used to race up the ramp, and they got into a little danger, they got into a fight, they pushed the guy off, he broke his leg. Then they said they did a pious, they did a little 21 first finger. And whoever was Zocha, he'd go up first and he'd scoop up the ashes and pour it to the side of the ramp down below. So the Gemara says when he goes up there, he needs to wear all four begadim. It's a real avoda. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Ma tamalomer yilbash lahavi mitznefes va'avne. Mishum deloksiv ela midovad umichnasayim. It only refers to wearing like the pants and a shirt. Kasev yilbash lilamedcha shehu avoda gemur. This is a real avoda. Vitzricha arba came. You need to wear all four begadim. Now, Chumas Hadeshin is a very interesting discussion here. We're going to see in like Daf Chaf or so that this machlok is whether or not Chumas Hadeshin is considered tchilas yom. It's an avoda that begins the day. Or maybe it's so fly that it ends the previous day. So that's the machlokas in the Gemara. And the Rishon Rambam seems to focus, I think, on Avodas Laila. Most Rishon hold it's a Avodas Yom. Some don't even hold it's Avoda. Rashi calls it an Avoda Gemura. From what I recall, I think the Ramban in the Baal Mor, the very first one in the Maseches Yuma, when they're talking about what the Kohen Gadol should do on Yom Kippur, they argue, does he have to do the Chumash Hadeshin or not Chumash Hadeshin? The Chumash Hadeshin is called an Avoda, so the Kohen Gadol has to do Chumash Hadeshin. If it's not an Avoda, it's simply a Hechsher Ba'alma, then the Kohen Gadol does not have to do the Avoda. But from this Rashi, it's clear that he calls it an Avoda Gemura, and for that reason he needs to wear all four begadim. That's all the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Comes along now Rabbi Dosa in the Braisa says, Omer, Lahavi Big Day Kohen Gadol, B'yoma Kippurim, Shein K'sherin, the Kohen Hedyo. To tell us that the Big Day Kuna, that the Kohen Gadol wore, Yom Kippur, it can now be passed on to a Kohen Hedyo. That's the Raya. How can you pass it on? Must be the belt that the Kohen Gadol wears Yom Kippur is the same exact belt that the Kohen Hedyo wears the rest of the year. So you're allowed to use that because the Pasuk says, you can't use, the Pasuk says again, V'nicham Sham. You have to, after the Yom Kippur is over, this week's Parsha, Achrimos. After he's done, V'nicham Sham, the Kohen Gadol takes the Big Day Kuna, he leaves it there, and one opinion holds, he leaves it, he can't use it for another Yom Kippur, but a Kohen Hedyo could use it for a regular avoda. The Gemara is going to say that. Very good. The Gemara is going to respond that in just a second. So Gemara then says, again, Rabbi Dosa, Omer, Lavi, Big Day Kohen Gadol, Yom Kippurim, Shein K'sherin, L'ha Kohen Hedyo. Rabbi Omer, what Ricky just said, Shtei Tshuvas B'davar. I've got two questions for you. Chada, Avneta Osher Kohen Gadol, Yom Kippur, Milo Zehu Shah, Avneta Osher Kohen Hedyo. He argued and said the belts were different that the Kohen Gadol wore than the Kohen Hedyo's belt. Number two, Vi'od, Big Adam Shinisham Shasa Behen Kedusha Chamura. The Shamish Behen Kedusha Kala, that which was used for the holiest day of the year, that went into the Yom to Kodesh Kedoshim, should now be used by a regular Kohen Hedon in just the Azara. That's a downgrade. So therefore he argues. So Elamat Hamalomer Yilbash, what does Rebbe do with the word Yilbash? The Rabbos es hashchakim, to say that you're allowed to use dirty clothing, even though dirty clothing you might think should be pater, should be disqualified for being used, nonetheless it's kasher to be used as the avoda. The Chumash Hadeshin gets very dirty, you get the ashes, and the begadim get dirty, nonetheless you're allowed to use it for further avodas. Gemara says, V'az the Rebbe Dosa, the Tamei Rebbe Dosa goes to Shitaso, the Tani, the Baraisa says, V'nicham sham, you place it there, the Pasuk says in this week's Parsha, Melamed Shetunim Geniza, that the first opinion holds, after the Kohen Gadol you use the Big Day Kuna, he needs to bury it, it's no longer usable for another Kohen, for another Yom HaKippurim. Each year, you need to make new Big Day Kuna. Rebbe Dosa Omer, Shlo Yishamesh Ben Yom HaKippurim Acher, but another Kohen Hedot is allowed to use it. So that's a machlokas. Either way, we brought this braisa primarily to teach us that there's machlokas here, whether the begadim of the Kohen Gadol are the same exact as that of the Kohen Hedot. The Gemara now says, Tanya Rabban, the braisa teaches us that ir bo psul umino acher tachtav. Let's say the Kohen Gadol A gets pasul, and you appoint Kohen Gadol B in his place, just temporarily, until Kohen Gadol A is, the psul is no longer there, he's no longer tamei. So now what happens is when Kohen Gadol A comes back into position, what do you do with Kohen Gadol B? What do you do with the backup guy who served as Kohen Gadol? So the Gemara says, Rishon chozel avodaso, sheni komitzos kuna gudul alav. So the Rishon, the first guy, the Kohen Gadol, is reinstated as the Kohen Gadol. The second guy, the backup Kohen Gadol, he has all the halachas of the mitzvah of the kuna gudula. He acts like a Kohen Gadol, all the different dinim. I think Rashi goes through the different details here, does he? Yeah, look at Rashi, two wide lines down, the end of the wide line, kol, komitzos kuna gedola alava, lo pareya, he can't let his hair grow long, can't tear his clothing, v'nei matam l'krovim, u'muzra ala amana, he can't marry an amana, u'mushamish b'shmona begadim, when he does avoda, he does eight begadim, all the deem, there are two karm gedolim now. That's all according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rishon chozel avodasa, he agrees that Kohen Gadol A is reinstated as the primary Kohen Gadol and the only Kohen Gadol, but Shani, the second guy, ain't a roi, lo l'Kohen Gadol, lo Kohen Hedot. He cannot serve, he's stuck. He's not a Kohen Gadol, nor is he a Kohen Hedot. And we'll see why the reasons in just a second. So Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi says, Maisa, once this happened, Rabbi Yossi ben Elam, but Tzipori, Shira bo Psuli became Pasul, but Kohen Gadol, Uminu, Tachs of another guy was replacing him, Vamu l'chachamim, Rishon chozel avodaso, the first guy is reinstated, and the Sheni, Einu roi lo Kohen Gadol, lo Kohen Hedot. So that's how we pass like Rabbi Yossi. And what's the reason why this backup Kohen Gadol is kind of stuck? Kohen Gadol, he can't be a Kohen Gadol because Mishum Eva is going to create animosity, tension between the two Kohen Gadolim, so you can't have him Kohen Gadol, but yet at the same time, we can't make him Kohen Hedyo, Mishum Malam HaKodesh V'lo Marid. And once we've given a promotion, you can't now bring him down after getting that Kedusha. So for those two reasons, he's kind of stuck. So I'm Rabba Bar Barchan, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha, we pask in Kreb Yossi, that the Kohen Gadol Sheni remains stuck. He's not a Kohen Gadol, nor is he a Kohen Hedyot. Umod Rabbi Yossi Shim Avar V'Avod Avodasa Kshayr. If the Kohen Gadol Sheni does the Avodah anyways, even though he wasn't supposed to, the Avodah is still good Avodah, because in fact he really is a Kohen Gadol. He just can't act like one. And Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Halacha, Rabbi Yossi as well. Umod Rabbi Yossi Shim Meis. If Meis Rishon, the Rishon dies, Shechozel Avodaso, so then the second guy can be reached. So he's a backup. Now he's waiting out. So the Rishon dies, so Sheni is the next one. Gemara says, Pshita, of course. Why would you pick a third Kohen Gadol if the second Kohen Gadol once served as a Kohen Gadol? Gemara says, maybe it's an interesting Havamina, Psha Mal Desema, Havli Tzar Michaim. Kanta Tzar Michaim is having to do with the Yevamos Sugyas of two wives and things of that. But since there was tension while they were both alive, maybe he shouldn't really serve as Kohen Gadol because he had that certain tension with the old Kohen Gadol. Maybe we should find the back of another Kohen Gadol. Kamash Blom, no, the Sheni is the one who's reinstated first. So we'll stop here. Now, tomorrow's daf, I keep getting lucky this year. All the hard daf are on Shabbos, so I'm lucky here. This is what I recall like the only hard daf in Masechta Yuma. Not the only one, but hardest daf Yuma. Very tricky about the different times. I'm off the hook for this one. Good luck on that one tomorrow, guys. Well, let me summarize quickly what we did today. So we had a machlokas about whether or not Yishlaim is nischalkel shvatim or not nischalkel shvatim. It perhaps depended on the two brises, whether it's divided to Yehuda and Binyamin, or it was divided amongst all of them. We have a few nafkamines we found about whether the shuls were owned by someone or it wasn't owned by anybody, and also whether or not you're allowed to collect rent or you can't collect rent. Then we end up saying that really the truth is all shuls are pater from the din of Nigei Batim because it has to be low. You have to have exclusive ownership. as opposed to shuls are somewhat owned by other people. Then we discuss how do you anoint, how do you initiate, how do you inaugurate the Kohen Gadol, the one who becomes the new Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. A few suggestions. If it was before the Talmud Shachar, that's how he wears eight begadim, becomes that way. If it was ready after that, so you had a few options. If the robe, the belt is different, that would establish. If you hold that the belt is the same as the Kohen Gadol, then you have to maybe flip over the meat on top, or maybe the avod itself is a mechal chasso, turns him into it. Then we had both Rav Dimi and Rabin, who had this machlokas, whether the avnate of the Kohen Gadol was like the Kohen Gadol's or not like the Kohen Gadol's. That was a big machlokas. And then we discussed the Trumas Hadeshin, whether Trumas Hadeshin is a real avoda, you need to wear all four begadim, or no, it's not real avoda, you only have to wear two of the begadim, and whether or not the Kohen Gadol's begadim of Yom Kippur can be used for Kohen Gadol or cannot be used. That depends on whether or not they have the same robe, and also whether or not Malam HaKodesh Vei Maridim. And finally, what to do with a backup Kohen Gadol, who then is replaced by the initial Kohen Gadol, whether he becomes a second Kohen Gadol, or he's stuck between, he can't be a Kohen Gadol, nor can he be a Kohen Gadol. Okay, everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.